The final frontier begins.
This is about saving the future of humanity.
This is a huge victory for the good guys.
You've never seen Voyager.
Commitment to this course of action is not emotional.
Scotty, beam us up.
Welcome to another episode of Beam Me Up, a Star Trek podcast. I am Brent Allen, and I have seen every episode of Star Trek 47 times.
And I'm Matt Sonnenberg, and this is my first time through the series.
And this is the show where we are on a mission to introduce people to the Star Trek universe by watching, in air date order, the most important episodes that deal with the lore, the history, and the timeless message that Star Trek is putting out there into the universe.
But whether you're ready to have a baby or not, you should head over to beamyuppod.com and check out all of our podcast episodes. Some of them have to do with babies. Others, not so much. A little bit of something for everybody. Then when you're done there, check out beamyupgiveaway.com. There's even more fun stuff there.
Today's episode is the 12th episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine Season 5, entitled The Begotten, or as I like to call it, How Odo Got His Groove Back. In case you guys didn't watch this one first, in this episode, while Major Kira is trying to have a baby, Odo has a baby, changeling that is, and tries to teach it how to shapeshift. Now, Matt, we're going to get into the recap of this episode in just a second, but I'll give you a chance right here at the top of the show. What are your overall thoughts on this episode as a whole, The Begotten?
It's a solid episode.
Really?
Yeah.
I debated this one, but then I couldn't because it was two things happened that I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going to have to watch it. But really, a solid episode. Okay, talk to me about it.
I actually quite enjoyed it, and it was different from a standard episode. I feel one big question I had is, if did they hire someone else to score this episode?
Really? Okay.
Like the music, just, it was beautiful during this episode. Mm. And it really helped get you into the moments. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think the balance, like if they had spent any more time than they did with Kira, mm-hmm, I may have had a different opinion of this.
Okay.
But it was kind of a nice, you know, contrast. Like they're obviously trying to go baby and baby. I get the parallels and stuff. And then obviously the end, they walk off together because they're experiencing similar things. But it was a surprisingly, dare I say, enjoyable episode.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. Like, part of it almost feels like, and I'm just coming up with this now, mm-hmm, maybe it, part of the reason I like it is because it feels like it's Odo's origin story. Mm-hmm. Because this is the first time, I believe, I don't know if it's the first time you, but the first time I get to meet Dr. Mora.
This is the second time as a viewing audience we've seen Dr. Mora, but we've never gone into the detail. Like, Odo has this guff with Dr. Mora because of how he treated him growing up. And like, I remember going, asking the question in the first episode that we met him, which was all the way back in like season one or two. And I just sat back and went, well, no, we're going to watch The Begotten and he's going to come out with it all over again. Like, Odo's got daddy issues, man.
Definitely. And I drew some of those comparisons too, but like, basically what we're seeing Odo's origin story play out again, except mm-hmm, Odo's there to kind of like defend or protect quote unquote baby Odo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're getting what he, we had the origin story from what happened from the changeling's point of view. Now mm-hmm, you have the, what happened when he was found, quote unquote, and you know, how that all sort of came to be. So yeah, you got exactly out of this way. I think you needed to get out of it. Just so you're not budging on Kira. Like, she's not, you're not warming up to her at all. Is that what I'm hearing from you? Is she still,
I mean, she wasn't super annoying this episode, but mm-hmm, I still don't look forward to seeing her on screen.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see how that changes. We got 2.5 more seasons to go, so we'll see if it changes. I'm not saying it will.
Yep.
We'll just see what happens. I this is one of those episodes, frankly, I don't tend to like a whole lot.
Okay.
I just, and you know what,
it's, you know why, have you put your finger on it?
No.
Okay.
No, it just, maybe it's just not actiony enough. Like this episode to me feels like a, maybe that's it. I don't like this episode necessarily in a season five slot where season five is, you know, season four, season five, season six, like these are the big seasons, right? Like this feels like a early season one, season two type episode to me. You know what I mean? But and maybe it's what you're saying, where we're kind of getting the origin of Odo, like we're being introduced to certain things. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know so much about Odo right now. Like this, I don't know if that's it at all or not. I just don't tend to like this episode.
I can see that, but at the same time, I think if we didn't get this full episode, mm-hmm. people would have a lot harder time accepting, oh, Odo touched a baby changeling and now he has his powers back. Like I think they needed to devote a full episode to it.
Right. Right.
As opposed to just saying, cause I mean, ultimately isn't that what they wanted to do? I mean, at some point Kira had to have her baby. Yes. And then the writer's like, hey, we want to give Odo his powers back now.
Right.
And some brilliant mind came up with some way to, you know, bring those two together. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. Like they knew they wanted to give Odo his powers back. I'm sure that's how it came about. I don't think they said, hey, let's bring in this baby changeling. And it's like, oh, what if Odo touches it and then he gets his powers back? Yeah. No, I'm almost certain it was the writer saying, no, that's enough of solid Odo. We need to give him his powers back. Mm-hmm. How do we do that?
Right. Which is interesting to me. And that might be another reason why I'm kind of a little on this episode, because this is only 12 episodes into Odo lost his powers.
Yeah.
You know, like I never felt like they really explored human Odo nearly enough. And you've watched four of them. You've watched a third of it, mm-hmm. you know, and yes, they do explore it a little bit more in some of the other episodes. But I mean,
in the episodes we watched, I almost forgot that he can't shapeshift because like, honestly, I don't think we see him do it that much because he wants to be like the humans. Right. Mm-hmm. And so he only does it in extreme circumstances usually.
Right. So anyway, all of that to say, it's never my personal favorite. Maybe Matt will get to the end of this and I'll have a change of heart this time. But I do think that it's an important episode, certainly in the story that Star Trek is trying to tell because of the connection to Odo. You know, if it was just Kira having her baby, like, hey, Kira had her baby.
Yeah.
But you got to know how Odo got his powers back. You've got to know that he lost them for a time. Meeting Dr. Mora Pohl, I think, is an important development in Odo's personality. And meeting him here actually is way better than where we met him before. So all of that's where this episode came to. I get its importance. I'm not, now, don't get me wrong. If this episode comes on, I'm not turning it off.
Sure.
But I'm never like, oh, this episode. I'm more like, oh, it's this episode. Okay. Well, I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think all Star Trek is good Star Trek, even the bad Star Trek, you know? But
you'll find something else to do while watching it.
It's a laundry episode for me. So anyway, well, Matt, we're going to get into this episode in great detail here in just a moment. I have one character actor spotlight, actually two, I want to pull up. The first one, I want to talk about the director. The director's name is Jesus Salvador Trevino. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He's a new director to Star Trek. And the only reason I point him out here is because his very first episode on Star Trek was the last episode we did, Fair Trade. So he went straight from Fair Trade into this one. And he'll be around for a couple more episodes as well. And that may account for where some of the changes are that you're hearing, because you really liked Fair Trade. You really like this episode. Maybe you'll become a fan of his episodes going forward. And we'll see. The other person I really want to point out, though, is I got to point out Shakar. Is this your first time meeting Shakar? I think it is.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't really look familiar. You've mentioned his name before. Like, I've heard probably Kira or someone mention Shakar a few times, and I had to ask you, like, so who's Shakar? Like,
He's the first minister on Bajor. Yeah. That's all you need to know. Well, I only point him out here for two reasons. One, he's played by, again, a guy named Duncan Rager, something like that. Now, there's an episode, Matt, that you and I skipped, but every Trekkie out there knows exactly what I'm talking about. We probably should have skipped it, or we probably should have watched it just on the infamy that this episode has among the fandom. This one's from TNG. A lot of people call it the worst TNG episode out there. I don't think so, but it is one of the most far-fetched ones. It's from a season 7 episode called Sub Rosa. And every Trekkie just went, because in that episode, Beverly falls in love and has a full-blown affair with a space ghost. that lives in a rose. It's weird.
Okay.
In this like Scottish Disneyland, like it's weird out, like wacky out there. Anyway, this guy played the space ghost that Beverly was fooling around with.
Okay.
That also had a relationship with her grandmother and like all these women from anyway, weird stuff. It's one of the most panned episodes in Star Trek history. But some people love it. There are some people out there like, I love Sub Rosa. It's amazing. So whatever. Matt, we've got an extra viewing coming up. Maybe you'll choose Sub Rosa for our Patreon feed. I don't know.
I don't think that was on the list.
Anyway, that's not even why I bring him up. I had to do that for my fellow Trekkies out there. But I do want to bring him up because he was in a very, very underrated B-horror movie from the 1980s where he played the role of Dracula in a movie that I have seen an untold number of times because I love this movie. To this day, I can't get enough of it. I've watched it since it first came out. It's a movie called The Monster Squad.
I am not familiar.
Matt, we are fixing that this Halloween. Wolfman's got nards. This is the, oh my gosh, it's so good. It's such a good movie. It's so funny. It's not even funny. It's just good. It's good. It's fun. Anyway, The Monster Squad, he played Dracula or Alucard. So anyway, that's the only reason I bring him up. Anybody right out there, if you guys out there know The Monster Squad, please email or tweet at us at beammeuppod@gmail.com or at beammeuppod on social medias and just say, I know what you're talking about. I would greatly appreciate it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, watch the movie. You can find it, I'm sure, on any digital platform out there. It's great. Anyway, Matt, that's all that I have. I don't have any here's how this episode came to be or anything like that. So let's go ahead and dive in. We'll talk about the A plot, the B plot. There's very distinct A and B plots in this episode, which was a little bit of a relief, I think. Yes. You know, and then, but let's start by talking about some specific plot points, character moments that really, really jumped out that you're like, I've got to talk about that thing outside of the plot. What you got for us, Matt?
Well, I honestly don't think I have too many of those. I do have a couple though.
Okay.
I guess this doesn't really matter anymore because Odo is now a changeling.
Okay.
But the fact that he's going to the doctor because he needs to relax and he has bad posture,
right,
or stiff posture.
Right.
And then he mentioned that besides relaxing, what also helped him was prune juice. Like, prune juice strikes again. Okay.
Right.
But then he also told him, connecting with the prune juice, I guess, that he should go to Worf's morning exercise class.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Do you remember on TNG, did you ever see Worf doing like his little yoga class or whatever?
I don't know that I ever saw a class. No.
Okay. They would just randomly pop up where like you'd have everybody on the DVD cover plus a couple of extra people like in like a yoga studio on the Enterprise somewhere,
huh,
with, you know, Worf doing these like Katra moves or whatever, huh, you know? And, yeah, see, that's, like, that's what they're talking about.
I don't see Worf leading an exercise class, like maybe a fighting class or battle class. Like right. I've seen him spar with a few people before, but morning exercise class. And like, he's telling him, yeah, you need to stretch more. And like, mm-hmm, yeah, I don't see Worf doing this. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I got one instance of 47.
Oh, you did? Oh, I missed it. Where is it?
There's a shuttle 4709.
Nice. I like it.
It was the last shuttle to Bajor as they were leaving. And I think any other comments I had, mm-hmm, actually ended up playing more into the story than anticipated. So,
okay. I've got one just to bring up to you that I don't think you know, and I don't think we're going to get to a spot. Did you ever catch the name of the baby, the O'Brien's new baby? Did they mention it? I don't think they did.
I don't think they did.
Okay. I want to just tell you.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. I just want to tell you so we can discuss it, because when they talk about it later, I want you to just know who it is. They named the baby Kira Yoshi.
Yeah, they definitely did not mention
that. All is one name. It is such a mouthful that is hard to say.
Wait, that's Kira one Yoshi. Name?
One name.
Kira Yoshi?
Kira Yoshi. Kira Yoshi O'Brien.
Do they always call it Kira Yoshi?
Kira Yoshi. Or, yep. Not they, Yoshi. They not Kira. Kira it? Yoshi. Yep.
Mm.
Not Ryoshi.
Interesting.
Yeah. Kira Yoshi. Obviously Kira, you know, for Kira. Mm-hmm. And then Yoshi, I think, is like Keiko's dad's name or something like that.
I was going to say it's, yeah. probably something like that.
Right. Or Kira. Yeah. Anyway. So there's that. That's like I say, I just want you to be aware of that because
good to know.
You'll hear them say from time to time, Kira Yoshi.
I mean that just seems weird. Now you have Molly and Kira Yoshi.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. It's one thing when you go, every kid's name is exotic, mm-hmm. but when you have Molly and Kira Yoshi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And hey, how about this? How about Worf being good to his word if he was busy somewhere else when Kira was having the baby?
It's true. Did we even see him at all?
Yeah, I think we saw him like very passingly. It was very passingly.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
Odo, why are you speaking to your beverage?
There it is right there. There it is. So anyway, all right. Well, with that, Matt, why don't we tend to do B plot first. Let's talk about that. In the B plot, this is the one where Kira is giving birth to the O'Brien's baby, but Miles and Shakar are butting heads and hilarity sort of ensues.
Yeah, they tried. They need to fill some space, I think. Like there's not a whole lot here. Mm-hmm. I like that ritual to help her relax.
Oh, like, that was annoying. Right.
Thank you.
It was annoying.
Thank you. Like
it's annoying to watch. That might be why I don't like this episode, Matt. It's just annoying.
Well, like I said, if we come back to Kira one more time, I don't know. Like it was a good, like, I don't know, 70-30 or 80-20 balance. And yeah, I just, that would not help me relax. Maybe the Bajorans are different,
right?
But that would not help me relax. And then I guess this is just Bajoran biology. They were, you know, trying something different. Sorry, you're not going to have the baby today. You were in labor too long. Like,
what?
What? How does that work? Yeah. We missed the window. We'll try again in a few days.
Yeah. She wasn't relaxed enough. So, you know.
But yeah, like a few days, maybe a few weeks. Yeah.
And here's like, the thing. Go ahead.
The thing it reminded me most of, and I think it's just because it's kind of current, I still hear about it from time to time, mm-hmm. is like when SpaceX tries to send up a rocket, right? And they're like, yeah, we got this window today. Oh, no, bad weather. We missed it. We'll have to wait a couple of days, a couple more weeks, try it again. And I'm like, yeah. Like that's one thing. But for a baby, I'm like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Like, do Bajoran babies just get gigantic then? Or do they stop growing? Or... like, how does this work?
Well, I mean, she did say, you know, if you want, we can just go see Dr. Bashir and have him beam the baby out for you.
Well, okay. So, yeah, they stopped before she actually said what they were going to do. They just kind of like implied it. Is that's kind of what I assume they were implying, that he could beam it out?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I've never seen the, what that completed line would be, but given what we've seen with the doctor over in Voyager, given what we saw with Dr. Bashir, how he got the baby into Kira in the first place. Sure.
Yeah. So I mean, I think this was like the parallel to, you know, do you want to have the baby naturally or do you want drugs?
Sure.
Right.
Sure. And I think that was much more of a, that was much more of a debate back in the 90s.
Oh, sure.
You know, my wife has had two children over the last 10 years, and it was never a debate as to whether she would have medicine or not. I suppose that debate still happens out there, but it's not as prevalent, at least in my circles. I don't want to speak for everybody else's out there, but at least in my circles, it's not as prevalent as it was, you know, way back when. I think that the conversation now more revolves around whether or not you're going to actually have the baby, naturally, or if you're going to just have a chosen cesarean section, that I think tends to be the more of the debate today. At least, like I said, I don't want to speak for all women out there, and I'm going to stop speaking because we don't just in the circles that I'm in, I'm only relaying my experience.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I think that's 100% what that was, because don't forget, Matt, Nana Visitor just had her baby.
Yeah.
So she just went through this.
Yeah. Like that's what I figured. Cause that's what I figured to do with most actresses who are pregnant during filming. Mm-hmm. It's like you wait until they have the baby because later in the episode, we're going to show you not pregnant. So like we can't do that episode until you actually have the baby, which I figure has got to be weird then because she has the baby and then you have to go back into work and put on a pregnant belly, like a fake pregnant belly for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And then by the end of the episode, you can shake it off.
So let me ask you this. There's the whole thing about Kira giving birth and the weirdness that that is.
Sure.
To me, the joy of this B plot though is Miles versus Shakar and the two like kind of butting heads, you know, like, this is Miles's baby.
Yeah.
You know, like, but Shakar's all like, I'm here to be with my girl who's about to have a baby. And I'm like, but it's not your baby. This, you know,
like she's playing surrogate.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad for you to be there to support her, but
yeah,
like,
and obviously, like we talked about, they're trying to go for comedy. And so that's why they have this there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was the writing of it or if this was the director, and maybe this new director that we're talking about, I think he maybe does drama better than comedy, but I'll reserve judgment on that yet. We'll see what happens down the road, but I don't know. Cause like I understood why O'Brien wanted to be so involved. It's his kid,
right?
Why Shakar wanted to be so involved, I didn't quite get. Like, be there to support your girlfriend, sure, but be super involved with the baby, actually, like that. I don't know. That felt like he was pushing things a little far.
I agree.
It felt like the humor then was kind of forced because they were pushing Shakar into this position just to get them to butt heads. Whereas I think if Shakar stands by Kira's side and says, yeah, I'm here to support you, Miles gets to do his thing, you know, checking out the baby and like, cool. Yeah, there you go. You're each doing your own thing. You're both in the room. You're not butting heads and everybody is there peacefully, but they didn't let that happen.
Mm-hmm. I did like the moment where they're like Kira's like, look, if I have one more word out of you, I'm kicking you both out of here. And they're like, okay. She's like, that's it. You're gone. Like, you know, and eventually she's like, all right, let them back in. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
And then I just, cause it was funny to me, when the moment of birth is happening and Miles is like trying to come around and see, and Shakar's like, no.
Yes,
you stay over there. Like, and Miles is like, this is my baby, dude.
Like right there. Like that. That's where I thought like Miles was overstepping a little bit too. It's like, I understand it's your baby, but once again, let's think about this, man. Yeah.
But keep in mind though, Matt, this is the future.
I understand. And
those sorts of issues of modesty are not supposed to be a part of Gene Roddenberry's vision of the future. Like, we can all just be free, but this is also Bajor. So maybe Bajor has different philosophies than the Federation, which is totally cool too, but it was definitely very funny. I got to tell you again, I am only speaking about me and my experience. Personally, I had zero desire to see the birth of either of my two children.
Yeah.
And they had the curtain up like by my wife's head. I was with her on that side of the curtain. And I remember the doctor going, all right, baby's about to come out. Do you want to look? And I just went, nope. And wife was like, nope. I don't need to, it's okay. Do your thing. I'll catch the baby here in about 32 seconds.
Yep.
Let's make it happen.
I don't have that experience, but I kind of have a feeling that I would be in the same position you were. I'm like, nope, just
hand it to me when you're good.
Get the baby out of there and then
slap it on the butt and, you know, then let's go talk, you know. And I got to tell you, in that moment, like, everything is so overwhelming with what's happening. I mean, because especially as a father, like, because there's the baby, here's this thing, and there's just all the medical stuff going on. But then there's also my wife who's getting pushed, you know, like, there's just all this stuff. And like, you're just sitting there, they don't tell you as a father, like the dude, what to do. Like, you're just standing there completely helpless. And like, I don't know what you're wanting me to do or where, I don't know where to put my hands. Like, just, so, you know, yeah, it was definitely, but it was funny. It was a funny moment to me.
Where yeah.
Like, get out. And then Miles was like, I'm going to look. Jakar's like, no, you ain't. But yeah, then I mean, it's really the B plot, right? They have the baby and Miles and Keiko are oohing and awing over their baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to save, when we get to the end, I want to save the talk between Kira and Odo, because that's kind of its own little thing.
Oh yeah. I kind of chose to stick that under the A plot.
Okay, cool. Do you have anything else about the B plot, or you want to move over to A?
I'm done with Kira.
All right. So A plot, Odo comes into the possession of an infant changeling, which prompts him to take the initiative to try to raise the infant. Yet Odo must face his own upbringing when Dr. Mara Pohl shows up, the Bajoran who found Odo and experimented on him. In the end, just as they're making progress, the infant becomes sick and dies, but it absorbs itself into Odo, giving him his changeling abilities back.
Yep.
So you thought this was a strong episode, Matt. I'll hand it over to you. Talk to us about it.
Well, first of all, I will say I have a lot of questions.
All right, let's do it.
Especially in the beginning portion here. Where did Quark get this from?
We don't know. And there's a theory about it that I can't go into detail right now.
Okay.
Because it depends on information from a future episode that I cannot tell you.
Uh-huh.
But suffice it to say,
he mentioned something about like a Uridian, which I don't, that means nothing to me.
Did he? Is that what he said?
I think he said he got it from a Uridian or something. Uridian
trader. He might have said that.
But like my biggest thing is, regardless of what he said, why is no one looking into this? Like, this feels like it should be a big deal, not just, oh yeah, let Odo take over. Like, okay, cool. Like, he just bought black market goods. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Cisco, you want to step in here? And like eventually later in the episode, we find out like, oh, Federation knows about it now, or Starfleet knows about it now. They just want updates. I'm like, wait, you're okay with this? Why is no one investigating where this came from?
Well, okay. So to be fair for that. All right. Well, two things. One about the Uridian trader. Remember, this was Quark. It could have been from a Uridian trader, or maybe that's just what he said because it really came from somewhere else. Just throwing that out there.
That's what I'm saying. Why just did no one question?
But remember when Quark sold the baby to, and sold is the right word, sold the changeling to Odo, they thought that he was dead. And so Odo was like, no, he's not dead. He's just sick. And so, yeah. I mean, because you got to go like, well, wait, is this changeling any threat? Well, no, he's an infant. Well, how do you know? We got to put security around this. You're right. All this stuff has to happen. But also bear in mind, we're still not within the purview of the Federation. Granted, it is on the station and the station is under Federation control, but the station is still Bajoran station. So they kind of got to abide those rules too. So yeah, but even the Bajorans, I'm sure, would go, hey, it's a changeling. Uh-huh. Let's figure something out here, guys.
Yeah. Like my other question then too is like, how did Odo know it was sick? Like, how does Odo have all this information about, you know, the sickness of changelings and how would you even recognize that as a changeling? Like, especially if it was sick, because it didn't look normal.
Well, I could see that Odo could understand all of that for whatever reason, whether it's because of something he got while he was in the Great Link and he learned from there, whether what he knew about himself, maybe if he ever got sick before the other sicknesses took over and he knew what he looked like then. It could have been all that. Could have just been an intuitive thing, you know, like just part of their species. Lots of species have lots of instincts. Yeah. It could have been that. The one that gets me though about that is, how did everybody else know that it was a changeling? How did Quark know it was a changeling? How did the Uridian trader or whomever else know that it was a changeling?
Mm-hmm. It feels like part of me still wonders if this was part of a larger plot from the Dominion.
Explore that a little bit, Matt. Go ahead.
Like, did they send this out? Because that, like, as Odo kind of explained again, like, this is how they sent us out here, right? They sent us out as infants, basically. And you know, I actually started putting it down in the Star Trek message, but what better way to test another race than to see how it treats the weak and vulnerable?
Uh-huh.
Right. But this felt like one of those things, like, they needed to get it as close to Odo as possible.
Well, okay, like, Matt, can I change the statement you just made there? What better way to test a fallen member of your own race than by seeing what it does with the sick and vulnerable of your own race?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. And we're going to come back and explore this when a little bit more information gets revealed to you, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
But I like where you're thinking right now, because there is the, yeah, you know, my people sent, you know, 100 of us out into the universe however many hundreds of years ago. And the implication is he, at least that I always understood, is this baby is one of those that was sent out. That's the one that I always got. But what if it's not? What if this baby?
That's not how I read it at all.
And you read it as something else. But either way, you and I are both coming to, I think, to the support of where did this new baby come from?
Mm-hmm.
Why was it, why did it eventually make its way to Odo? Did that, was that just happenstance or was it actually part of a Dominion plot in order to see if Odo should get his powers back? Because remember, the changelings above all are very loyal to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even to Odo, they're still, I mean, even Odo keeps talking about my people, I got to be yeah. with my people. There's my people Worf. Are evil, but I still love my people. And the, his people are like
Worf.
Oh, exactly. Right. It's so much like that. Only like Worf exponent, you know, like up there, uh-huh. you know, way up there. So, you know, I think it's conceivable that the founders were like, hey, so we were kind of hard on Odo, right? Can we give him a shapeshifting ability back? And I'm not saying that they infected an infant and sent him out there, but what if that was part of their, like, this is how you can do it? Because here's something you missed in an earlier episode, Matt, that we didn't watch. Bashir said to Odo, you still have morphogenic enzymes.
Okay.
Now, us as a viewing audience were like, well, okay, whatever, and mm-hmm. blew that off, you know, but they sort of seeded the idea that he could become a changeling again then, you know?
Sure. So you keep kind of writing it up as, you know, the founders want to give Odo his powers back. But I kind of wonder, maybe they're doing a little experimentation. Like, they have a lot of knowledge, but we know a few things, like, you know, no founder has ever harmed another, right? Until Odo.
Which I still debate that, because it was the other founder that was harming Odo, and Odo defended himself.
I understand. Whatever. Until Odo came along, though.
Right.
And then I get the impression, at least, that they've probably never stripped another founder of their powers before. So this is kind of new territory, I would argue. And so part of me wonders if this was like an experiment. And I mean, I think they've been hanging around. They've had enough eyes out there to understand who Quark is and what he does and who he's in contact with, that all it would have to be is one other founder shapeshift into a Uridian traitor and sell this thing to Quark. And they knew it would find its way to Odo. And then they can experiment and say, okay, what happens if he comes in contact with us again? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there's all sorts of different directions you could take this. And at this point, I have no idea how much they're planning ahead for the series and that type of thing. So I don't know if they're plotting, you know, bigger things for the Dominion and how all powerful they are and how involved they are in everyday life and how much they're manipulating everything. But it's possible, I think. I think it's very possible.
Matt, I want you to be clear. I am not saying what is happening. Mm-hmm. I am merely presenting theories that are out there.
Okay.
That's that, or theories that even maybe I myself, let's call it headcanon. Nothing confirmed because we don't know, right? Like in this at episode, this point, we all we know is conjecture.
Yes.
You know, that's all we know. And future information may or may not come back and reveal it one way or the other. I will say that as far as the two discussions you and I are having right here, the two theories, both could be equally valid, as well as exactly what Odo said it was in the episode.
Yeah.
You know, that it was just a baby changeling that was out there somehow, whether he was one of the originals or a new one that was sent out to do its thing. And it got sick and somehow magically made its way to Odo, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing that gets me is if it was one of the originals,
uh-huh.
like, I guess we don't know exactly how long Odo, do we know how long ago, like Dr. Mara found Odo?
Yeah, it was not long.
So like how old is Odo?
I mean, you'd think it was during the Cardassian occupation. So 80 years at most. I don't even think it'd be that. I don't think the Bajorans lived that long.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking decades though, right?
A few decades. Yeah. We're talking a few decades. So, but what did Odo say? How long did he say that he was out there floating though? Did he say 200 years ago, my people sent 100 of us out?
I don't recall.
I think he said it was either 200 or 300 years. So the changelings have been floating in stasis or whatever until somebody found them and then had to help him come along.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So this one just wasn't found until then. I guess you could argue that. Like that just seems, well, it's probably not as far-fetched as I think it is. But it just seems to me that, like, because we've seen Odo and, like, that was so many years ago, like, to have this one still from that original batch
mm-hmm.
just seems off to me. And that's why I feel either there was an additional batch that we don't know about, or this one is solo that they just sent out with intent, or something along those lines. Like, I'm more likely to believe that than it was just one of the originals, but I don't know.
I'm just saying, I think this discussion right here, Matt, if the internet existed like in the way it does today, back then, I think this would be the debate. Like, what if this is something different?
Sure.
What if it's more than this? What if it's intentionally sent out by the founders? What if it's for this purpose? What if it's for that purpose? You know, the way we debate any other episode, you know, that comes out today, that would be it. And that's why I just want to engage in that. So, yeah.
Okay. So then in the next part, Sisko brings up Dr. Mora. It's like, I think we should call him. And I was like, no, I want to do this myself. It's like, okay, it's your choice. Next scene, hey, Dr. Mora's here. Mm-hmm. And he knows about the changeling. I'm like, what? Who called him? And why did they tell him about the changeling? I guess if you're going to call him, you're going to tell him about the changeling. But they never addressed this, and I don't like that.
Yeah, they've said before news on the station travels fast. So, you know, anybody's like, hey, I'm going to call Dr. Mora. Or Kira files a report that gets back to the first ministry, and then somebody there sees it and they call Dr. Moore and say, hey, you should get over there and go see it.
Like, part of me says it was Sisko, and I don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel Sisko's better than that, and he would kind of respect Odo's decision that he wants to work on this alone.
Uh-huh.
But, like, that, I mean, he's the only one that mentioned Dr. Mora, and that he kind of thought it would be a good idea to have him here. So, I don't know. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but okay, fine. They wanted to get Dr. Mora here.
Tell me what your impression of Dr. Mora is.
I made a note towards the end of the episode. I feel like they want me to like Dr. Mora or feel bad for Dr. Mora or something along those lines, but I don't. I don't really care for Dr. Mora. I don't really trust Dr. Mora. I like Odo and I like his methods and I like how he handles situations, and I wish he would have gotten to do things on his own. Like I said, he requested to be allowed to do this alone. And then it was actually like two scenes later, because there's one thing that happened in between there, but two scenes later, Dr. Mora is there. And I'm like, he specifically said, no, Dr. Mora.
Right.
Like, seriously, come on. So, I mean, I guess I kind of, it was,
but kind I mean, seriously, soured
from the beginning,
as soon as he said, no, Dr. Mora, you're like, yep, Dr. Mora showing up. Did you not? Dr. Mora, so I thought
it like they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that they brought him up because of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is going to be a similar situation to what you went through
right.
with Dr. Mora. So we're going to remind people. But I don't think I made the assumption that, oh, yeah, Dr. Mora is going to show up.
Yeah. So the conflict, though, here being Dr. Mora did all this stuff with Odo in a certain way, and Odo didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make the mistakes of my father. I'm going to be a better father.
Yep.
But Dad shows up and was like, no, here's how you have to do it. And then Odo's like, no, I'm going to do it my own way. And then actually turns out that doesn't work. He starts doing it a little bit of the way that his dad did it, and turns out it works. And they get so excited because they're seeing development and growth. And you have that message.
I was kind of saddened a little bit to see how quickly Odo bought into it. Like, and I was kind of sad to see like that just going back to the old ways worked.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to see a little bit more. And I guess they did kind of address this as it went on, but I would have liked to see, you know, a combination of the two, right? Yeah. We can start with the old method, but Odo's method, and they kind of touched on that a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, he's progressing faster than you ever did. And he seemed to have a connection with you and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I guess they kind of pushed that, but like, I still felt like, no, they just went back to the old way. See, it worked. I don't know. The more I talk about this, I feel like I shouldn't have liked the episode. Like, I feel like I'm complaining about a lot of things.
Right. Give me something positive then, Matt. Give me something positive then.
So when Odo first has his alone time with the baby.
Okay.
Like, this was honestly one of my favorite scenes. And like I said, the music that they put along with this was fantastic.
Yeah.
And it felt like, we don't always get a lot of, you know, let's turn up the music on this scene. It's usually just very quiet background, kind of ambient, you know, off in the distance. Oh yeah, there is a little bit of music in this episode. But this episode, it felt like, no, we want you to feel something. And so we're going to give you this great score for this episode. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time I heard it. And then it happens again later when he's kind of training him and stuff. And like, just, I don't know, some of the camera work with the music, and it hits you in the feels, right? Mm-hmm. And it was good. I don't really have words for it right now, I guess, but I know I liked it.
I think that what you're describing goes to show just how much Renee put into this episode.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like Renee's acting with a jar of goo. Let's face it.
Yes.
He's acting with a jar of goo.
I thought about that from time to time, how much he had to like pour it from container to container. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sitting there thinking like, I suppose they actually did create some goo. So he didn't have to just try to pour, you know, CGI goo the entire time. Like they probably did give him some goo to play around with, mm-hmm. But you're right. Yeah. It's Renee with some goo.
It's Renee with goo. Like but he did wonderful with it, you know? Mm-hmm. In fact, Renee would talk about this episode. He would say this was such a memorable episode for him that this was one of the few episodes fans could mention by title of the episode, and he would know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, which you can imagine, these actors, they go through so much stuff. Like, they're not memorizing titles of episodes or anything like that, but this one he knew.
And that's something, honestly, that always surprises me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I getting off topic a little bit, I watched, like, the Friends reunion show or whatever they put out, mm-hmm. and, you know, the six main cast members are talking about, like, oh, yeah, do you remember this episode? Yeah, I have no recollection of that. And I'm like, It just feels like, yeah, if you're a fan of the show, you know exactly what they're talking about.
Right.
But the people who are actually there making the show, a lot of times they made the show and then never watched it again. Mm-hmm. And so they're not attached to it the same way as the fan who has watched it 47 times.
That's 100% accurate, you know? So anyway, yeah, he just did wonderful. By the way, that goo that they made, that they used for the baby changeling, they experimented with a whole bunch of stuff, and what they effectively came back to was the same stuff that Nickelodeon uses as slime that they dump on people.
It's effectively the same stuff. I almost wonder if you're going to tell me it was GAC coming out of the 90s. But
right. No, they said that's effectively what it was. So
that makes sense.
Yeah,
it does make sense. Yeah. But I also think, we always say Star Trek is best when it's two people in a room talking.
Yes.
And this was one of those scenes, just one of the people couldn't talk back.
Right, right.
But it had that weight to it, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was such a tenderness, such a thing for Odo. Now, I will say I do relate to this quite a bit, because my own father was not a great father, you know, and the number of times growing up that I swore, I'm never going to do it like that. When I'm a dad, I'm not going to be like that. And frankly, that has informed how I am as a father with my own children. And I'm not saying that I get it all right, but so much of what I do is like in direct contrast to how my dad was. And there's things that I still do that are just like him. And it makes me so mad, you know, but at some point it's effective, and I just need the kids to do what I need them to do. And there is a point, I think, that I find it compelling, but to go back to the earlier conversation we were having of some of Dr. Mora's methods worked to get the desired effect, that, you know, there are things that our parents used to do with us that you're not allowed to do to kids today, or you're not supposed to be allowed to do to kids today. Uh-huh. But you're like, dude, that kid's going to grow up spoiled. That kid's going to grow up like a pile of goo. Like, dude, you have to.
They literally gave us the line, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Literally. Now, I'm not here advocating for certain types of discipline. I'm not here advocating for beating your children in no way, shape, or form. Please don't read that in to what I'm saying. I'm an educator, Matt.
Yeah.
I am constantly faced with the old way of teaching versus the new way of teaching.
Yeah.
And how does that work? And what does that look like? And what is the most actually effective way of teaching? And why are we teaching? And what are we doing? And this episode, I think, goes to all of those places to say, you know what, sometimes the old way of doing stuff, as unpleasant as it may be sometimes, is an okay way. You're not going to permanently damage the child, like, you know, and it's very exciting. If I could give a negative, though, Odo had certain principles. I'm not going to do it this way. This is not going to happen. Here's how I'm going to do it. And when he finally gave in and said, okay, fine, let's try it your way. And Odo sees that it worked and that the pile of goo did what he wanted it to do. Ooh, I like that. And it's like he didn't try to mitigate those techniques with what he was trying to do. He didn't try to blend it.
Exactly.
And I think as a parent, what I've learned is there's all these things that I thought I'm never going to do it this way. And the way I'm doing it's not working. So I'm going to try it, but I'm going to mitigate it. And I'm going to try to bring some sort of balance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Odo didn't do that. He went from one extreme to the other. Yep. And
that's what bothers me.
Yeah, I agree. It bothers me too, because I want Odo to have found out, okay, how can I do the discipline, but do it in a way that's not going to scar the child the way that it scarred Odo, apparently. Right. And frankly, I think with Odo, the problem between Odo and Dr. Mora was they didn't have a relationship with each other.
Yeah.
And there's an old saying that rules without relationship equals rebellion. And that's what happened with Odo. Dr. Mora didn't view Odo as a person. He viewed him as a thing to be experimented on. Whereas Odo viewed the pile of goo as a person, right?
Yeah.
Not to be experimented on. And that's where the difference, I think, really lied. And I wish there was some way, and I don't know that the Star Trek writers were, I don't know that's what they were going for, but that's what I pulled from this episode was you've got to be able to move forward. And that's how we move forward as a people group, right?
Yeah.
Because the mistakes that I'm making as a parent, hopefully my kids will go, here's all the good things my dad did. Here's all the bad things my dad did that I don't want to do. And they'll be better parents than I was. And that will pay forward to their children and their children and their children. And as we go on through time, we actually become better parents and we become better children. Yeah. But you have to have that relationship. And I think that's the thing. Like, you know, my kids know that I love them. It is in the core of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I personally was intentional about making sure that it was there. And I tell them every day, many times a day, how much I love them. And that gives me permission to crack the whip sometimes, you know, when it needs to come down. And we move from there. So I don't know. That's my experience and what I kind of get out of this episode for that.
It makes sense to me. And yeah, that I think that kind of falls in line with an episode we did recently over on Voyager.
Okay.
The Q and the Gray.
Okay.
Because you were just explaining we need to, you know, teach our children in a better way, and it passes down through generation until we become better people, right?
Right.
And that's exactly what they were trying to teach Q in that episode, that we can't just mix our blood and make things right. It's something that's taught and ingrained in people over generations. Like, we didn't get to where we are just by having babies with the right people. So it wouldn't surprise me if that is kind of a similar message that they're going for, but alternate theory time.
Let's do it.
When they spent so much time with Odo and Mora yelling at each other and they were just had the camera focused on them away from the goo, I was certain we were just instantly going to get a third voice. All of a sudden it's like, stop it, you two, or something like that. And I thought the goo would be like formed and like their fight would have spawned it. And like, he forms and is like, I've had enough of you guys, like, stop it. And I don't know where it goes from there. If you know, he stays in that form and becomes part of the crew, or if he just runs away and they never hear from him again or whatever. But like, I part of me thought like the way that argument was building, and they're, you know, putting the focus on that, like trying to make us forget that the goo's still over there.
Right.
And then something's going to happen with it. Of course it didn't.
Not quite how it worked out. Right.
No.
Right. Right. Matt, I want to point something out though, in this moment, for as much as Odo clearly has feelings about his father, quote unquote, Dr. Mora, Odo chose his look, right?
Yeah.
As a changeling, he became a humanoid. He had a weird, hard time with his face. But did you notice his hair? Odo's hair is Dr. Mora's hair.
I did not notice that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you go and you look at like the head ridges of some of the families of Klingons, and like if you look, you notice like head ridges and the families are the same. Like in the makeup department, Dr. Mora Pol and Odo have the same hairstyle. And all the changelings mimic Odo's look, so their hairstyle is actually Dr. Mora Pol's hairstyle.
Yeah.
So anyway, for all of Odo's problems with Dr. Pole or Dr. Mora. I mean, he still chose to wear the Mora hairstyle.
That's like clever. It was
still in the family.
Like, I looked up some pictures and sure enough, I did not notice that during the episode, but you are absolutely correct.
Right. Which I think goes for a son who is estranged from his father. Mm-hmm. It's still like, for the most part, it's still your dad. It's still your family. It's still your whatever. And you still hold those traits. Matt, I have just two more questions that I want to bring up for you on this.
Yeah.
The first one, I want to talk about Odo getting his powers back. The time comes, the changeling unfortunately dies, or before it dies, reabsorbs into Odo. And all of a sudden Odo's, and he's a changeling and he's taking off like a Trakalian hawk. Give me your reaction to that moment there where like baby dies, but good news for Odo.
Well, my first thought was when they gave us the shot of like the baby melting out of his hands, I'm like, oh, he died. Like when they changelings die, they just dissipate, dissolve, evaporate, whatever. But then Odo had that reaction and I'm like, no, that's something else. That's something he wasn't expecting. Mm-hmm. And for how much information he's had about this changeling up to this point, and like, yeah, this was something he was not expecting. So what's going on? Now, then I had another brief moment. I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay. It absorbed into him, or he absorbed it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, wait, does that mean Odo's going to be sick? Is Odo going to be in trouble now? Like, do we need to heal Odo like before he dies? Like actually figure out what was wrong with this changeling? Like, that's still a question, honestly, because we've seen Odo with this creature for all of, you know, 10 minutes. But I was a little worried about that. And then once he kind of, I don't know if he actually got a smile right away or not, but like once he started like walking away and it, like, I thought he was going to like back up to the wall and like collapse because he was sick. Right. But once he didn't do that, once he kind of took a few steps forward and it's like, oh, he got his powers back. Okay. I see where this is going. Fine. So there was a whole lot of things that went on when that happened. And like I said, I still kind of have some questions that, you know, is everything actually okay? Is this going to, like, I have a feeling, just understanding how TV is usually written, like I said, I think they just want a way to give Odo his powers back. So I'm assuming, yeah, he has his powers back. Things are going to be fine. Maybe they'll try to write in potential side effects here and there, but for the most part, I think it's just Odo's back to normal now. How we first met him, normal.
That's true. That's Odo's just back to normal now.
I figured.
Yeah, we'll see. Although Odo's experience as a human does affect him, and we'll see that as that goes forward. All right. As far as the A plot, that kind of wraps up that segment. I do want to talk about the whole Odo Kira scene at the very end. Are you ready for that?
Sure.
Okay. You go first. So Kira comes to Odo, and Kira's just had the baby, and she's kind of had to hand it off to the O'Briens because it's, you know, their kid, not hers. And Odo's just lost the changeling child, even though he's got his own powers back. But they both have a moment where they're sort of grieving over the loss of a child, this experience that they're now sharing together. What are your thoughts on that one scene, which seems so out of left field? They don't spend any time on it. It's not a message or anything. They just give you a scene and then move on.
Something just occurred to me that I don't like, but I'll try to answer this question first. But it made complete sense to me. And I don't have a lot of feelings about it necessarily because I've never had this experience. I don't really know anybody who, very closely at least, who's, you know, had the experience of actually losing a child or had the experience of like being a surrogate and having to give up a child, or even just like giving up a child for adoption or something. Like all of these different possible circumstances, I felt that they were almost trying to address in this one scene. It's like, you could read this however you want. But ultimately, I think they just kind of, I took it as they were putting their final stamp on, you know, yes, these were parallel stories. Yes, they're not going to be alone in this. There are other people out there who have gone through what you're going through. And even though the situation wasn't 100% the same, like, you can still help each other. Now, the thought I just had was that this is going to be a quote unquote bonding moment for Kira and Odo, who've already kind of had a thing at one point. And I told you, I'm not really fond of because I love Odo. Don't really care for Kira. So I hope this doesn't drive them closer together in that respect, but who knows? Who knows?
Pardon me, Matt, while I look over here and take a drink.
You're the worst.
There are some things I'd like to say, and I like, there are times where I'm like, no, you don't have to worry about it. This isn't one of those situations, and I'm cool to tell you. And then other times I'm like, no, I'm gonna let you sweat it out and figure out which one happens. And sometimes it's like, no, you're absolutely right. That's what it is, and I just can't tell you right now. I'm not telling you which one it is.
You're the worst.
Anyway, you know, I got to tell you, I love the symmetry that they do. It's been a while since we've had a good A plot, B plot, and they, throughout the whole episode, they seemingly have nothing to do with each other. You know what I mean? Like, let me ask you this. How early in the episode were you like, oh, this is about a baby, that's about a baby? Look, they kind of go together, but they're each own storyline.
Pretty early.
Did you? Okay, because I never catched that until that very end scene of like, they're both experiencing the same thing.
If they hadn't referenced the goo as a baby, I wouldn't have made that connection. But they kept using the word baby enough. And like, I forget if it was Cisco or Mora, one of them was leaving the room, and it's like, or maybe was it even Julian? Someone was leaving Odo alone with the baby, and it's like, I made some comment like, have fun with your baby or something like that. And like, that kind of hit it for me. And it's like, okay, baby and baby, got it. Like, I didn't realize that they were gonna draw the parallel until the very end, as much as they did. But I mean, I didn't know how both stories were going to end necessarily. Because part of me wondered, like, is this going to be a weird neither can live while the other survives type of situation? Or is there some super sci-fi thing going on? Like, I mean, we can save the changeling, but then Kira's baby's going to die. Or like, I don't know. So there was all that kind of running around in my head, like how sci-fi is this episode going to go? But then it's like, no, okay, we get to the end. It's like, they're just drawing parallels. Got it.
Matt, I'll leave that there. One note about that final scene though, if it does feel a little out of place, the original teleplay like ended the episode with Kira just being like, take the baby, I'm happy to be done with it. Now Visitor, having just had a baby, was reading it and was like, no. That's not how Kira feels. And she actually went all the way to Ira Stephen Bear and was like, we're changing this. She probably was more polite than that. Hey, can you change this? Because this is not real. This is, you just have a baby. You're going to have some sort of detachment issues when you hand that baby away. And there needed to be that moment. And they went in and they wrote the scene and kind of added it on to the end a little bit. So if it feels a little out of left field, like, I never felt like they were leading to this moment of loss as much as it was, they were leading to Odo getting his powers back and then resolving the O'Brien Kira storyline, because the actress finally had her baby. They didn't have to hide it anymore. Like, that's all that really felt like to me, until you get to this last scene and you're like, oh yeah, they're both having to deal with loss now. So anyway, I think it's a beautiful scene. It might be my favorite scene of the whole episode, because it's so poignant. Two people in a room talking.
It's definitely right up there with that first scene that I talked about with Odo and the ooze.
Yeah, that's very true. Although this one had another person who could actually talk back.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, Matt, you got anything else about this episode you want to dive into?
I think that'll do it.
All right. Well, I'll bring it down. We've already discussed this, but let's do it on the official book, Matt. Did you like the episode? Would you want to watch it again? Do you understand why this was part of our run?
Yes, yes, and yes.
All right. Well, would you like to know what we're watching next week?
That would be useful.
All right. Well, our next episode, we're going to be staying with Deep Space Nine, going to the very next episode, Matt, an episode called For the Uniform, which means there's no extra viewings to add to your plate this week as well. So For the Uniform, and I can't wait to catch your reaction to that episode. And we'll see when we get there. Hey, what'd you guys think of this episode? What'd you think of The Begotten? Email us, beammeuppod@gmail.com, or head over to beammeuppod.com for more ways to contact us and let us know your thoughts. What's your theory on where this baby came from? And don't forget to visit us at beammeupgiveaway.com. Matt, where can they find you out there on the internet?
You can find me personally on Instagram and Twitter at As a Matter of Matt.
That's going to do it for us this week, guys. We'll catch you next time. Live long and prosper.